Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June
30th, 2024. LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked, if movies have women in them, are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast, start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Welcome to the Bechdel cast. Should you choose to accept this mission for kids, my name is Jamie Loftus.
And my name is Caitlin Durante.
And this is our feminist podcast about movies, about spies, and about kids.
We're pivoting exclusively just those things.
It's Caitlin, the podcast bubble has burst. You have to be more niche than ever. It's too broad. We can only talk about spies.
Who are also kids.
And the media therein directed at them. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. So that means we can talk about Agent Cody Banks, too?
And one. Yes.
Oh, I meant like T-O-O.
As well. Yeah, I guess that is there any other kids who are, is, Bosom is Girl Kids who is spies?
Well, Harriet the Spy.
Oh my God.
There's actually quite a lot of media in this sub genre.
We should have done Spy September.
Fuck.
There is so many spy movies for kids. I like that.
Also,
I
mean, Nancy Drew is kind of a spy.
Absolutely. Yeah. She. Oh, I loved Nancy Drew so much.
I love those books.
Isn't Barb Nancy Drew now? There's a new Nancy Drew, and now it's Barb from Stranger Things. Am I making this up?
Oh, I didn't think it was Barb, but there was a movie that came out that was in theaters for, I think, 2 days.
And then, starring Emma Roberts? Or was that a different
that
one?
That was a different one.
I think that was my era Nancy Drew. That was, 2007.
Yeah, there's one that came out in 2019.
There was. Okay, I'm not crazy.
Got like brushed under the rug.
Oh,
I know.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, so we talk about the representation of
spies
women
and
in,
kids.
Yes. And we use something called the spy test to determine whether or not the kids in the movie you're watching are spies.
The Bechdel test.
This is our wildest episode yet. I don't know what's happening.
Hopefully this isn't your first episode. We talk about the portrayal of women in movies, especially when there's both spies and children.
And then we use the Bechdel test as a jumping off point. And that, of course, is a media metric created by cartoonist Alison Bechdel. Also, it's known as the Bechdel-Wallace test.
Yes.
And it requires that two female identifying characters or two spies in a movie.
Spies of any gender, really.
Talk to each other about something other than spying. A man or a spy man.
Right. A man who's spying. Alison Bechdel, you know, is she a spy? Not that we know of, or maybe she's just that good.
Oh, I hadn't considered that.
What if we found out Alison Bechdel was both a great cartoonist and icon and in the CIA? That would be
Did you? What a cover she's got.
I used to want my parents to be spies so bad because of this movie. Yeah. Oh my God. I got so into spy culture after this. I'm so excited. Okay. So
let's get into it.
We're covering Spy Kids.
We are. Sorry. And we have a guest, as we always do. She is a dear friend of ours. Mm-hmm. She is a photographer. She's a producer of many comedy shows around Los Angeles. She's helped out at various of our live shows, mm-hmm. including the show we did at San Francisco Sketchfest and the New York Comedy Festival. People often confused her for our super producer, Sophie, when it is actually Catherine Leon.
Hello.
Hi. I loved getting mistaken for Sophie. It was an honor.
You're welcome.
This episode has truly been, I think, years in the making at
this
point.
I think before you established you were having a podcast.
We were even friends.
Yeah.
The only thing I knew about you is that you love Spy
Kids.
That's
the only thing I needed you to know.
That's a good spy.
Wow, yeah. It's really throwing me off your... You know, a real spy probably wouldn't love a spy movie so much because it would, you know,
give away all the secrets.
Yeah, yeah, it would be a dead giveaway.
Mm-hmm. But they're kids. I'm not a kid. We're not kids.
But are you a spy?
Maybe.
Okay.
That was my way of telling you.
There should have been a spy. There should be a spy adults spinoff.
I agree. Yeah. Well, there's sort of a spinoff called Machete, starring Danny Trejo.
I don't think we established that was a real.
It's not a real spinoff, but it is. There's a whole Machete series directed by the same director of Spy Kids, Robert Rodriguez, a movie franchise starring Danny Trejo, playing a character, I think, named Machete, mm-hmm. who is also his character's name in Spy Kids. Mm-hmm.
And Caitlin, well, that's his code name. We all want it to be a spinoff of Spy Kids, but we can't be sure. Actually, if anyone in the... I wouldn't be surprised if Robert Rodriguez like snuck in a little reference in Machete just for people's headcanon.
His code name. So in that series, is that his real name or is that a code name?
I don't know. No one's ever seen Machete. So
it's like we're just really guessing. Maybe it's a direct spinoff. It's really clearly established at the beginning and we just don't know.
We just truly don't because we did not watch it.
Right.
But this was my intro to Danny Trejo. For sure. This is my intro to a lot of famous actors.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, when we were watching it back as a group last night, I didn't realize how many, like, I recognized Tony Shalhoub, but I didn't, like, when I was a kid, mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, that's Alexander Minion.
Yeah, I didn't know who Alan Cumming was.
Was this everyone's first Alan Cumming movie?
It was definitely mine.
No, I saw this movie for the first time when I was 32.
True.
So, no. My first Alan Cumming was Josie and the Pussycats, I think.
Nice. There's no bad way to be introduced to him.
Absolutely not. He's the greatest of all time.
And I think this was the first time, unless I had already seen... Yeah, I'm pretty sure this would have been the first time I had seen Antonio Banderas, although maybe I'd seen Zorro. I'm not sure.
I probably saw Zorro. Like, I'm sure I've seen Zorro. Either the first or second. Sure. I don't know if the second one had come out yet, but I definitely saw the first one.
I don't remember the order, but there's so many famous. Terry Hatcher is in this.
Yes.
I probably didn't even know who Cheech and Chong were.
Cheech Marin is in it.
Yeah.
Judge is in this.
Definitely didn't know who Judge was. There's. All I cared about was Carmen and Junie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just wanted mm-hmm. to be Carmen and Junie. I think really an iconic siblings movie.
See, that was my whole thing with Caitlin, was trying to prove to her that Spy Kids was a perfect movie, was that I was like, this is the most accurate representation of me and my brother in any movie depicted anywhere.
Okay.
Was your age gap similar with your brother?
Oh, I think so. It was 4 years, which seems kind of similar. Yeah.
Yeah, my brother and I remember seeing this movie, and maybe this is bad, but like the kids in this movie, it is like very realistic how much they beat the shit out of each other. Like, you don't usually see that in movies. You see maybe a light verbal argument, but Carmen and Junie
throws a dumbbell at his sister.
After she kicks him off of a jungle gym. Right. Like, she kicks him off of a jungle gym. He falls to the ground.
He
she
falls
like,
on, like, hard, like, stone.
Yeah.
Right.
She, like, swings off. And then when she turns around, he picks up a weight and tries to throw it at her and hits a plant or something.
Which, I don't know. I remember seeing this movie and being like, oh, my God, kids are supposed to hit each other. Thank God. I've been doing this to my brother. But it was like, this would probably have been, 2001 would have been around the time, because my brother and I have like the same age gap, mm-hmm. where my brother got mad at me, and this is when I was like losing teeth left and right, and he planned a sting operation while I was
a spy?
Yeah, he's definitely a spy.
He's just a devious young man where he must have been like 4 or 5, and he like crawled up onto my bed and he slammed his butt onto my head, and I lost 2 teeth because I went in, and because I forget what he's like, you stole my Pokemon card.
Oh,
and then
my
he like
God.
Butt slammed my head, and then I got $10 from the tooth fairy.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Who won the
maybe
bet?
Your brother was the tooth fairy.
He was so mad, and my parents thought it was really like, we got in trouble, but my dad was like, so you sat on Jamie's head? He's like, yeah. Really hard.
Yeah, I would have been in like second or third grade or something when this movie came out.
So you guys were the target demo, the right age.
Yeah.
So officially, Catherine, what is your history with this film, your relationship, etc.?
I can't remember seeing it in theaters. I know that. Like, I don't recall seeing it in theaters, but I definitely have the VHS. It is currently on my dining room table because I tried to give it to you.
You keep showing it to me.
I tried to give it to you. But I just watched it a lot as a kid, and like a big thing for me, I think, was being able to see like Hispanic representation, and I was like, oh, these kids are like, they kind of look like, I guess Junie doesn't look like my brother, but I was like, Carmen kind of looks like me as like a child, and I kind of saw a lot of my family and like their family, and that was like cool, and that was probably one of my first like earliest movies.
Your uncle is Danny Trejo?
My uncle is, I have an uncle that is Danny Trejo and Cheech Marin and Antonio Banderas and Alan Cumming and Tony Shalhoub. My mom's Terry Hatcher. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. Wow.
Spy Kids was based off of me and my brother.
Wow.
That's my way of telling you.
There's a lot of secrets you're revealing to me. It is as if you are a spy.
A spy. No, I think I just watched it a lot when I was a kid. Like, it was just, I found it enjoyable. I thought it was super funny. And I think, like Jamie was saying, like, I was like, oh, I think I want to be a spy. Mm-hmm. Like, I got into, I remember Scholastic Book Fair stuff had, like, spy books and spy gear that you could like order, and I can't remember anything I bought, but there was nothing really to it other than the fact that we just liked it as a family. And I think because my parents knew who like Antonio Banderas was, they were like, oh yeah, we like this movie too because we know these actors, which is a big thing because my parents don't really know, they don't really watch movies, and they only really know like big name people. And I think Antonio Banderas was, like, clearly a person that they were like, we know him. This movie's allowed. I don't know.
Jamie, what about your relationship to this movie?
I love this movie. I remember seeing it in theaters with my cousins very occasionally. There's, like, a few movies I remember seeing with all 10 of my cousins very clearly. And this was one of them. We were just
so
like
many children.
A herd of
sounds like my family too.
Yeah, just like a herd of sweaty kids and like two adults. But I remember this, my Auntie Bunny brought us because she had a huge crush on Antonio Banderas, and she was like. I just like a weird aunt thing where she was, I remember her being in like the van and being like, there's something for everyone in this movie.
God.
And you're like, ew. This was a movie where we had like, we were still like poor. So it was like for 10 of us, we had like a tube of Starburst and we would pass them down to each other. But I thought for some reason, this was like an embarrassing moment.
I think I know the story.
Yeah, where like they were passing them down the row. And for some reason, I thought my cousins were unwrapping them for me. So I was eating them with the paper on. And I was like, why does it taste weird? And they were just like, you suck. And I got Junied.
Oh, wow.
But I loved this. It also got me really, really interested in spying. And I didn't see Harriet the Spy when I was a kid.
I don't think I did.
See, that was my like, I want to be a spy because I've seen Harriet the Spy.
I don't know. But yeah, this was definitely the first movie about spy kids that I'd seen.
Yeah.
And like, I had like a picture of Alexa Vega in my room. Like, I loved it. And I remember, I think that we saw 2 and 3 in theaters too.
Wow.
Definitely 3 because you had 3D glasses.
Yes.
Maybe I did too. The 3D glasses definitely sounds familiar, but I couldn't tell you what the plot was of three.
I remember three better than two, because three takes place inside of a video game.
Virtual, yeah. Is that the Sylvester Stallone one?
I think so. That actually sounds familiar.
Caitlin's so excited.
It is. I gotta go home.
It's a really good, and all three of them are on Netflix too.
Well, there's a Spy Kids 4 too.
There's
with Joel McHale.
With Joel McHale and Jessica Alba.
Weird. Yeah. Ugh, God,
I don't think any of the original people are in it. But I think the second one is about Donegan, who's the guy that gets kidnapped in the first one.
Played by Mike Judge.
I think because
Mike Judge is in the second one?
Yeah, because he's the main bad guy, I think. Because his kids start becoming, because they're like, okay, Spy Kids are okay now. Mm-hmm. Now it's a weird family competition between Donegan's family and the Cortez family. Because I think they're, I just remember one scene in particular where they're at a banquet. And all of the parents get poisoned. And they're the kids have to save them. And whoever's the best spy kid becomes the spy kid or something like that.
All right, I guess. Incredible filmmaking.
Incredible.
Aristotle, you've been nodding along. Are you also a huge fan of these movies?
Yes, I knew it. I knew I could count on Aristotle. I was going into it being he'll at least be on my side.
Are the three of us the same age? We're all okay, so yeah, just truly one of those prime demo 92. Yeah,
you're
it's
all
92.
Born in 92. Mm-hmm.
It's the 92 babies.
I'm an 86 baby, and that's why I've never seen this movie.
It is so weird, when we covered this, specific, run of 10 years, that, being born even a couple years apart, will decide whether you've seen it or not. Mm-hmm. Someone born in, maybe, I don't know, my younger brother, he probably doesn't remember seeing this movie for the first time, or... Anyways, spies, kids, I love it.
Should I jump into the recap?
Yes. Let's do it.
Okay. So there are two kids. They're not spies yet. Don't worry. Junie and Carmen. Carmen wants her mom to tell her a bedtime story about two spies who fell in love. She tells a story. The lady spy's mission was to kill the man spy, and his mission was to kill her. But instead of killing each other, they fall in love and they get married. And it turns out that those two spies are Carmen and Junie's spy mom and spy dad. But they've retired from being spies. They're now consultants and they've started a family. Their names are Gregorio Cortez, that's Antonio Banderas, and Ingrid, the mom played by, what is her name?
Carla Gugino. Mm-hmm.
So meanwhile, Junie, the little boy, he loves this TV show called Fooglies.
You say that like we haven't been saying that over and over again for the past 24 hours.
Oh, Floops Fooglies.
It's such a tongue twister. Okay.
Even now, watching now, Floops Fooglies, I would say, is scarier than when I first saw it.
There's body horror in this show.
I'm
graphics
wondering,
are wild.
Now I'm wondering, maybe this was the first movie where I'd seen body horror in?
Maybe.
Because it's now one of my favorite things. I'm like, maybe I'm not giving Spy Kids I forgot how much of it.
It was an impressionable film.
Yeah, the Tony Shalhoub
at the
quadruple
end.
Head at the end. It's...
And his hands for some reason.
The thumb people.
The thumb thumbs.
Also, Catherine, you pointed out that on Netflix, the thumbnail for this movie
is
of thumb thumb, so it's a thumb thumb thumbnail.
Someone at Netflix has a sense of humor.
Give that person a raise.
Okay, so Junie watches the show Floops Fooglies. We see a scene where we meet Mr. Floop, played by Alan Cumming, my king, in his lair. And then the bad Terminator from Terminator 2 is also there. And he's giving a lot of exposition. His name is Mr. Lisp.
Sure. Yeah, that I never understood.
And then Tony Shalhoub is also there as Floop's minion.
Named Alexander Minion.
But that's a reveal that we don't find out till later on.
He has to take his glasses off before. I mean, Alan Cumming is subscribing to She's All That logic, where Tony Shalhoub takes off his glasses and Alan Cumming's like, oh my God. said, I know you. I've seen you before. We're enemies.
I don't like the implication that in order to become powerful, Tony Shalhoub has to take his glasses off. As a frequent glasses wearer,
that's fair.
That was not
good. To be fair, you're not wearing them now.
Only because they mess with the headphones. It's a whole thing.
But I will say it was, I don't even think this was done intentionally, but like it was fun to see that trope inverted for once. Like it's never a man who takes off his glasses
and suddenly
and then everyone's like, oh, yeah. You're our boss now. Like, Alexander Minion. Oh, such a goofy name. Because
so good.
Alan Cumming and Antonio Banderas have to say that name. Dead serious. So, yeah.
It's a very serious situation. He is the bad guy. Like, yeah. He's the deep-seated villain in this movie.
And
both
Banderas.
Of them do have to say it in such, like, a way where you're like, oh, I'm scared. I have to be scared of this man.
The Antonio it's Banderas so read was, like, pretty, like, oh, Alexander Minion? And then Tony Shalhoub's like, yes, it's me. You're like, oh.
Great. Okay. So before all that happens, yes. We learn that Floop is both, I guess, the host and executive producer of his own children's show and an inventor.
Rubens.
Oh, if, sure. Yes. Is Pee-wee, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. So Floop is also an inventor who we learn has been trying to make an army of super secret agents, but they turned out all weird and mutated. And now the only use he has for them is to put them as characters on his show.
His Fooglies. Which yeah. sounds like it's almost saying something else that is like, that word shouldn't be in a children's movie.
Oh, I think I know what you mean.
Fugly.
I think-
yeah.
A junior high insult that hurt my feelings once.
Yeah, a lot of weird choices in this movie overall. Yes. But so Floop also has this army of thumb robots, which are like... sort
all
of
thumbs.
Useless. And then he also has these highly trained killer robots that are designed to look exactly like specific children, which Floop calls Spy Kids. That's the
and
name
of the
movie.
And he does it with jazz hands when he says it. They're called Spy Kids.
Alan Cumming's performance in this movie is the best part of this movie.
It's so good. And in that scene, I think between the two of them, they say Spy Kids four or five times. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, so tell me more about these
Spy Kids.
Yeah. Like, Robert Rodriguez, you goof.
The only problem with these Spy Kid robots, though, is that they can't talk and they don't have brains.
No.
Meanwhile, Spy Daddy gets called on a mission because several OSS agents have disappeared. And OSS is like the secret spy agency that they used to work for, the spy parents. So Spy Mom decides to go with Spy Dad. So
but she
call...
has to seduce him
she
in order
to seduce him first. Yeah, we'll talk about that scene.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So they call Uncle Felix, played by Cheech Marin, to babysit the kids. But a bunch of bad guys show up, and then Felix is like, by the way, your parents are spies. I'm not your real uncle, and you need to deliver a message to the OSS. Tell them that the third brain lives. Felix fights off the bad guys, and then the not-yet spy kids escape in a spy vehicle to a safe house. Meanwhile, the spy parents get captured by Floop, and we learn that Floop is after something that he thinks the OSS destroyed, and he wants Spy Daddy to rebuild it for him. Mm-hmm. And then the not-yet spy kids have equipped themselves with some spy gear, so they're getting a little closer to becoming spy kids.
They're training themselves.
They're training themselves.
They're being proactive in training themselves to be spies.
Yes.
It's great.
And then Terry Hatcher shows up.
Never a good sign. Never. I forgot about the Terry Hatcher body horror scene. And that, like, because I hadn't seen this movie in maybe, like, 5 years at least.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, my God. Like, they really do her dirty in this. Anyways.
Yeah. It's wild. She shows up pretending to be OSS, but it turns out that she and all the people she's with are also bad guys, and they trick the kids into giving them the third brain, which is the thing that Spy Dad had created that Floop is after. Mm. So the kids chase after the bad guys, and they get the third brain back, and now they're even closer to becoming actual official spy kids. But meanwhile, back at the Floop house, Floop house. Minions.
He has a shoe.
Floop also lives in a really cool castle.
It's a shoe. It's a boot.
It's a boot shaped
with a castle on the top.
Floop house.
This movie is so silly.
So Floop's minion, named Alexander Minion, is like, hey, I made your spy kid robots look like Carmen and Junie. And then those evil doppelgangers go after the real Carmen and Junie and steal the third brain back. Mm-hmm. And then the kids go to this guy Machete, as we discussed is Danny Trejo's character, for help. And that they learn that he is their actual uncle. But he's like, I don't want to help you because I hate my brother. So they steal his spy plane and fly it
to... Not his spy plane.
Floop house.
And but Danny Trejo is also like, fine with it.
Like, I think he set it up.
Yeah. And then he's like, ha ha ha, you guys are wild.
Right.
I love seeing Danny Trejo smile. It's always so disarming.
And right? You're
like, yeah. What a sweet man.
So they're at the Floop house now, where Tony Shalhoub has promoted himself to the evil mastermind behind this whole plan. And he's making copies of the third brain and putting it into the army of spy kid robots. And then Alexander Minion turns Spy Daddy into a Foogly. And then Carmen and Junie rescue their parents mm-hmm. with the help of Floop, who is now a good guy because he cares more about his TV show than about building an army.
Which, what a wild precedent to set. I can't quite wrap my head around that one. But I love that conversation that, and Catherine, you were saying the one shot they should
do. That shot where Floop is like in the clouds and he's huge for some reason. And Junie is so little, and then it cuts back, and at one point he's like sitting cross-legged, just like totally thinks that this is real. That shot is so funny, because first he's like standing because he's supposed to be scary, and then he like gets closer to Junie, and then he's like just lounging in the clouds.
They're like talking about their feelings. They're having a little therapy session.
They really are. And Junie's the one that makes him realize that he's good inside. Yeah. He doesn't need an army of robots.
It's so, that scene, I mean, rewatching so it, I was just like, oh, wow. Like, Junie harnessed the power of, like, Sensi Boy to save the day. Yeah. It was like his super spy power was expressing his feelings.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
So now that Floop is a good guy, with his help, they all turn Minion into a Foogly. But he's like, I'm
He's
back.
Like, I like it.
He has five heads and he's having a great time. And then the spy family, they're about to fight the evil robot doppelganger spy kid children.
Right.
But then Floop has reprogrammed them all to be philanthropic or something.
He switches their brain to think that what's right is wrong and what's wrong is right.
Which is all it takes, apparently.
Yeah. So then they go after like Minion and Terry Hatcher and the evil Terminator from Terminator 2. And then they're like, we're a spy family now. And then they live happily ever after.
Yay. There was that great Alexa Vega who Miles went to high school with. I just found out.
Whoa.
Miles went to high school with goddamn everyone. Alexa Vega gives that powerful speech to camera to close out the movie where she's like, there's spies and there's kids. There's But sometimes spies should be a part of a spy family. And family is the most important spy kid of all.
And then she turns the TV on.
Yeah, right.
Ends the movie.
So that's the story. Let's take a quick break and then we will come right back to discuss.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
And we're back. Woo, time to get into deep canon. I mean, this is requires analysis.
Yes, yes, it does. For me, having never seen this movie, having not grown up with it, seeing it through the adult eyes that I saw it through, you know, an objective observer will say, to me it seemed like the female characters and the male characters are presented as being generally equally competent and smart and good at their jobs. And I think it's mostly because Carmen is older, but she is presented as being far more competent than her little brother, Junie.
Yeah.
So we see this a lot. This is like a thing, and we talked about a little bit in Jurassic Park. This is something we've seen in a lot of movies where it's like an older sister, younger brother, and the older sister is presented as being more competent, which I guess makes sense for their age, but it's also good for us because we too often see women who are not competent.
Yes. I still stand Carmen to this day. Like there's there and like something that I mean it is like a more realistic sibling portrayal than you see in most kids movies, especially in a movie this otherwise fucking crazy. Like I really liked the sibling relationship, and also that you see Carmen like be moody and like mm-hmm. kind of mean sometimes, but it's not like the movie is never like and you should be angry. Like it's she's being a kid.
Yeah.
She's being a really smart kid and a really like capable kid.
And a really spy kid.
And a really spying and she's spying the whole time. And like even when she's mean to her brother, like it's she cares about him and she protects him and he helps her. And I really like they didn't do anything I didn't think to make her the girl spy. Like she was right. just one of the spies, mm-hmm. which I love. Big sister energy. Love it.
Yeah, that was great. I also enjoyed that you get to see a little boy expressing fear, being afraid, kind of being sort of the more sensitive one.
Yeah.
And then the little girl being brave and like kind of taking initiative, because you usually don't see either of those things, or the roles will be reversed where it's like the boy gets to be brave, the girl is scared. So it's nice that you see that little flip.
And Junie, child warts. I was thinking of my little cousin the whole time. I was like, because child warts visibility, man. And his little neon
his
band-aids.
Little colorful bandages.
So, oh, it's my little cousin. And then I liked that they both had, for Junie, it's his warts. And then for Carmen, it becomes a critical plot point that she wears a diaper at night and like has bedwetting issues, which is just like something you never see in a movie from a kid who's also really cool and you're supposed to like them.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, like power to the child bedwetters. There's such, but there is, I mean, it's like there is such a stigma, especially when you're a kid of like, you know, this kid still wets the bed and like the hero of our movie still wets the bed. And yeah, her brother like makes fun of her for it, but then they also land a submarine into
through shark-infested waters.
Exactly, like moments later. So I'm like, nah, well, I guess the bedwetting's kind of a wash. I don't know. That was a cool, and that was also, I thought that was going to be a one-off joke because it's said between the parents one of the many times they're trapped. and I like, I don't know if this was, but I assumed it was Junie because he was younger and had
right.
warts or something. I don't know. but then you find out later that it's Carmen, and it's actually an important plot point because it makes them crash the submarine because she's like,
she's
fuck
mad
you.
At yeah. She's like crash. Mad at him for knowing.
Yeah. I don't know. Like those like little details that like would. I remember that from like being a kid because you're like, oh, bedwetters. Mm-hmm. Bedwetters not being made fun of? Like, sick. I'm making it sound like, and now I'm like going to double down and be like, I didn't actually wet the bed.
Okay, Jamie, sounds like you did.
Actually wasn't wetting the bed in 2001. I did for some
only
reason,
in 2001.
When I
you skipped over that year, but
2002, baby. Back in business. pee every night. Did you ever wet the bed as a teenager?
No, I didn't.
Guys, awesome. I've peed in my pants like at the door as an adult. Like
totally.
Like 100%. Like I got so used to not when I would drive an hour each way to go to work, like I just would get in a habit of not peeing before I drove. So when I'm at the door, I'm like, I'm going to pee if I don't open this door. And I've done it countless times. I don't even know anymore.
I remember my first breakup in high school. I was being so dramatic that I just wet the bed one day. I'm like, I'm not leaving my bed. I'm too depressed. Oh. And then I just pissed myself. And I was like, wait, that was a bad idea.
Oh, this has been a nice sharing time.
I think this has been healing.
Not too. Anyway, so. Yeah, I think this movie, which is clearly directed towards like children and like families, it does a lot of good things in terms of representation that so many kids' movies, many of which we've discussed on the podcast, do not do. And in fact, a lot of them have done more harm than good. But yeah, this one, as we've said, normalizes bedwetting and warts. It shows girls and women being just as competent and smart as the boys and men. Mm-hmm. It shows, Catherine, you touched on this, but so we were trying to figure out where this takes place and what exactly ethnicity this family might be.
Yeah.
Because it's not specified, but we think it might be Mexico that it takes place.
Yeah. Because I was saying that growing up, I just assumed it was California. I don't know. It's because I'm from here. And I was like, oh, that could be like in San Diego or like a coastal part, like up north. Like it just never occurred to me to think of where they were. But we were trying to figure out like, oh, you brought it up where you're like, do you think they're in a different country? And I was like, I never thought about that. And then rewatching it, we found so many context clues that it was like, right. Oh, they're definitely in a different country. Like how in the beginning, Spy Mom and Spy Dad say how they were from two different countries and now they're in one. So we're going to assume that maybe Spy Mom is from the United States.
Because she's got an American accent.
Yeah, because she's, I think, either ambiguous or, like, she's supposed to be American. And then, like, throughout the movie, all the text that we see is in Spanish.
Right, which and, like, I didn't notice this.
Yeah.
And you see various characters speaking Spanish.
Speaking Spanish, which, and, like, the school, there's, like, that scene in the school where you're like, well, none of the kids are speaking Spanish, and, like, you can't really tell. It could be like easily an American school, but there's a scene where he like breaks the car really hard and the lady holding the stop signs yells in Spanish. But like, I think it was mostly the text on like the wart remover bottle. The text was in Spanish. One of the billboards, it was all in Spanish. Well, the stores were this, like,
they go into that clothing store and it says like niños and bebes. Like, it's all the text is in Spanish.
And then when they're at the park as well, there's everyone in the background is speaking in Spanish.
And right. Yeah.
So it's a Spanish-speaking country, we can assume. There's no necessarily clear identifiers specifically what country it is.
There was also that clue when the wedding scene. You were saying how on the cake they have like the Dia de los Muertos like skeletons. And I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's like clearly Mexican, of Mexican culture.
Yeah, I think so.
For that specific imagery.
Right.
And Robert Rodriguez is Mexican, so like you can kind of assume that.
And a lot of his movies take place in Mexico. I was trying to figure out where this movie was shot, and I didn't have much luck.
They do say Santa Cecilia or something, and that's a place in Mexico.
Right.
We looked up, but like,
Antonio still not. And then, but
I think they're purposefully trying to be vague,
right?
And it's like this is a Hispanic culture that we're like trying to show, and we're intentionally trying to be vague because Antonio Banderas is from Spain.
He's from Spain.
Yeah.
But then, like, Danny Trejo and Cheech Marin, who...
They're all Hispanic.
The two of them are Mexican.
Yeah.
So at least, at the very least, it's an ethnically ambiguous family, a mixed family.
Yeah.
We're not sure exactly where Antonio Banderas is supposed to be from or what ethnic group he belongs to, but it's some, like, Latinx or Hispanic.
We can safely say that it's, like, Hispanic, yeah.
And a huge movie, like, taking place outside of America... in a non-English speaking country is like a big deal.
It's so cool.
Yeah, for sure. Catherine, you were saying that like to be able to like see yourself represented or feel as though you were represented, that's like a huge thing because so many kids' movies are just like white kids, white kids, white kids.
Mm-hmm. And like as a kid, you don't realize that that's what's happening until you grow up. And so to be able to be like, yeah, Spy Kids, I saw myself in Spy Kids. Like that's how I was with all those Disney movies. It's like... I could only be Pocahontas because she had brown hair. I could only be Mulan because she had black hair. So it's like, but you don't think about that context as a child. You're just well, she kind of looks like me. I guess that's the princess that I have to pretend to be or whatever.
Right.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Another point for Spy Kids. Love it. I guess this kind of ties into Carmen, but we were talking about this last night as well, of the way I really liked how the fighting works in this movie, because this is like there's a lot of action elements to this movie, some that got more violent than I remembered. Yep. Terry Hatcher's head gets basically burned off, but then we see later that her wig is just kind of damaged.
She becomes like the baldest woman in charge because she's like mostly bald, but and then she's got some like long straggly hair.
And she does seem to have more power once she is balder.
It's true.
but one of the cool things is like I think we see very often in action movies, especially action movies of this era, that women are only allowed to fight women and men are only allowed to fight men.
Yes.
And that is not a rule that applies to this world. We see Ingrid fighting hand to hand with guys. I don't remember. Do we see Antonio Banderas fighting women at any point?
I don't think so. Because there aren't any other like women spies to fight.
I think the only other adult is Terry Hatcher, woman.
Yeah, that's true.
I think.
Right. Because all the agents who got turned into Fooglies, those were all guys.
Yeah, men. Those were all men. So I think it truly is just Ingrid and Terry Hatcher's character.
But then Carmen also fights her brother at multiple
robot points. Brother yeah
robo brother and there I don't know like it is like kind of rare to see just there seems to be parody in fighting in this movie too. Like it doesn't seem like you were saying, Catherine, like I think the only reason Antonio Banderas doesn't end up fighting a female spy is because there's not enough female spies in the movie. But I mean it is cool that it's not like I feel like it's always like the guys are fighting and this is the big part and then we cut to also there are some women fighting over here.
Yeah, the women are fighting each other.
Fight.
It would have been a very easy choice for when the two evil doppelgangers show up for it would have been an easy narrative choice for the girl to fight the girl and the boy to fight the boy.
Yeah.
I think here's my best guess. I think that they probably didn't do that because it would have been much easier to shoot the girl and the boy fight each other and then the girl and the boy fight each other. It just probably would have been too hard to coordinate like
Parent Trap style.
Exactly. Fighting kid fight choreography would have been nearly impossible.
But also catharsis.
Right.
Like you were saying.
You've always wanted to fight your sibling. There's like a whole scene where they're in the park when they first meet the robot doppelgangers and she's like, I've always wanted to do this. And she like punches him in the face, which is not saying that like, obviously that's not great, but there's like a sibling thing in you where you're just like, man, sometimes we just want to fight our brother.
Hit your brother.
As a sibling, this movie appeals to my worst instincts.
Yes. as an older sister with younger brother.
Yeah.
That is like the worst pairing all time.
But then the other thing that I think that in a lesser movie, Carmen, I think she's supposed to be like maybe 9 or 10,
maybe ish.
Because
Junie's supposed. What is our best guess for these ages?
I think Carmen's like 10, maybe 10,
and then Junie's like 7.
I feel like Carmen might be like closer to junior high almost.
Okay. She might even be 11 or 12.
Yeah, like 12 even? Or 13, and I feel like Junie's probably in like. Second grade?
Alexa, yeah. No, Alexa Vega
Junie's
was
like, younger? I would guess Older. No, I guess like fifth grade.
So Alexa Vega was 12 when this movie came out, and Daryl Sabara, aka Mr. Meghan Trainor, was 9. So yeah, I guess like, that's about right. Yeah, so I think that, and anyways, in a lesser movie, especially if she is aged up to be 11 or 12, I feel like they would have like tossed in some love interest for her too, because that's about the age where you're like, oh, I mean, if we get a female character, we gotta, you know,
there's gotta be a boy for her to kiss. Yeah.
But this movie also opts out of that and just gives you 500 more scenes of Tony Shalhoub, which I'm all fine with.
All four.
Better use of time.
Sure. There's a nice little moment. And Catherine, you pointed this out when we were watching it, but as they are taking the initiative, and it's mostly, I would say, Carmen who's taking the initiative for to train themselves to
when
be spies.
In the safe house, right?
Yeah. She picks up a spy manual by unknown author. Very funny. She's reading from it and says, a good spy puts himself, and then she adds into the text herself.
Yeah.
In the mindset of the opponent. So she's reading this patriarchal text that's excluding women altogether. And she's like, it's not just himself, it's herself too.
Yeah, she has to like self-correct through the whole thing.
Right.
She's also I like that they both have moments where they figure out what's going on. But I think Carmen does get a few more of those moments because she's more motivated, less emotional than Junie. And just like generally more badass because she's 12 and he's 9.
Right.
Doy.
Oh, okay. So I just thought of another. So compare this movie to Jumanji, the first one, where Kirsten Dunst is the older sister and then she's got a younger brother. And then all of the like emotional weight and all the like the kids figuring things out, that's all given to the boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
But it's like Carmen figures out who Danny Trejo is through like context clues.
Right.
And then like Junie's the one that is like, it's a tracking device. And then Carmen looks at the bracelet. She's like, blink, blink, it is.
And she goes, I hate that. And she just throws the tracking device in the park.
I just love that.
And then she saves him several times. She has to save him when the
she
like,
also drops him.
She drops him, but then saves him again.
That was a really scary shot.
Yeah.
There, I don't know how to describe the cinematography in this movie, but it is insane.
I love it so much.
Shout out to Guillermo Navarro, who is the cinematographer in this movie. It's like there are times that it's all live action, but it looks like a cartoon sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like when she drops Junie like to his death, it looks like a cartoon, but it's still like really intense and scary. And oh, it's just so cool.
Yeah, that cinematographer, he's worked a lot with Guillermo del Toro and like does some really cool stuff.
Oh, he did Pan's Labyrinth. Oh, yeah. Got it.
We got to take another quick break, but we'll come right back. Don't you worry.
He also did Night at the Museum.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
And we're back.
What an eclectic category. I'm sorry, I'm still thinking about the cinematographer. What an eclectic body of work.
So here's a couple things that I didn't like as much, or that I found a little like, okay.
Sure.
First one, whenever the mom is retelling the story of Spy Mom and Spy Dad meeting.
Yes.
And Antonio Banderas, like, they come face to face when they're like about to supposedly kill each other. He reaches in to her top and pulls out the photo of him to be like, oh, I was your target. Yeah. But it's like, okay, why are you reaching into her clothes right near her boobs?
Yeah.
Not okay to show children,
Gregorio,
or anyone.
I keep forgetting Antonio. I don't think we've even said the character's name yet. Antonio Banderas' name is supposed to be Gregorio.
Gregorio.
But we've just been calling him Antonio
Banderas. Or Spy Daddy.
Spy Daddy.
There is a scene also where Ms. Grudenko, that's Terry Hatcher's character.
Yeah.
She comes into the safe house. She says she's with the OSS. And then she and Carmen have this sort of like bonding moment where Carmen gives her the information she wanted, and she's like, oh, you've just joined the league of like awesome women spies. You know, it's like this like women got to stick together moment.
Right.
But then it turns out that she cannot be trusted. She's working with the enemy. So this like what otherwise could be like a nice like, yeah, women do have to stick together moment is completely nullified because she is an evil, devious woman.
Right. Which, again, it's like, and there are, I think that issue more speaks to the lack of female characters in the movie in general, because
right.
you really have Carmen, Ingrid, and Ms. Grudenko, and that's basically it. Because there are a ton of male characters in this movie.
There's a ton of like kids. There's like girls, but they don't do anything.
They don't talk.
Yeah. And there are like characters similar to Ms. Grudenko who are men, mm-hmm. like Alexander Mignon, who turns out to be this double agent, but there's enough male characters that it's not your general impression.
Right.
But because you only have three, one coming in and being like, girl power, and then being like, just kidding, bitch. Like, that doesn't maybe...
Doesn't bode well.
And something there are a few things with Ingrid that I felt like her character like was, I don't know, like in general there we touched on this before, but there's that moment when Spy Daddy is wanting to take on this mission, right, to go save Mike Judge or whatever. And he's kind of been working on it behind her back. And then he's like, oh, I got to go save Mike Judge. And, you know, Spy Mommy comes in and he's pretty dismissive of her. And he's like, no. Like, you stay. You take care.
She's like,
the kids.
I want to go with you. Like,
yeah.
I'm like raring to go on another adventure. She's like all about going and becoming a spy again.
And he says, no, you are mommy. Stay at home.
Yes.
And then the way she convinces him is she has to like seduce him.
Yeah.
Which, and then it works. You're just like, oh, that was pretty lazy writing.
Yeah. I mean, Gregorio, Spy Daddy.
Gregorio, do
he
better.
Is not a feminist icon. He just wants, he thinks women should stay home in the kitchen taking care of the kids. And that is not okay, Spy Daddy.
But when they are working together, it's equal. But I just, that scene, I was just like, man, come on, Robert Rodriguez.
Right, because like shortly after that, they've been captured and they're tied up in like the floop house. And she like uses her ring. She uses her ring to like laser the ropes off of them, and like so she's the one who kind of saves them and like releases them, and then they immediately, first of all, they go into the reality room or whatever, or the virtual, I don't know, some weird,
I like
augmented reality space,
like
I think it's
cloud,
cloud room,
and so, and then it is always revealed to be a green screen at the end.
Right,
it's really funny,
and then they end up in the Floop house dining room where Mr. Floop himself is eating this like green sludge.
Yes,
with a spoon.
He's eating Nickelodeon slime, basically. It's so weird.
With a spoon, very slowly.
Yeah.
And he like expects them to eat it also.
Tony
but they
Shalhoub
like
is...
land on the table.
On the table,
right?
Yeah. Onto like a pile of gummy
like candy,
worms.
Yes.
Very weird. The other thing with Ingrid, that this is like more of a story thing versus like how she's treated, but it is like, I mean, I can see this both ways, but you do get a lot more information about Spy Daddy's background than you get about her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We find out about Danny Trejo. And I'm thrilled to find out about the Danny Trejo secret, mm-hmm. right? But we find out like his family background. And then we also find out about his secret scientist background in a room full of all male scientists.
Yes.
And so like his character gets a couple of cool subplots, and we don't really get that for Ingrid.
Right.
We get that the way she relates to it is she's like, you didn't tell me. Like, she doesn't really have the upper hand in their relationship
right.
very much.
And he is then made kind of more important to the story because he was the one who developed the third brain. He's the one who didn't yeah. destroy it. So, like, he's why they are the, like, target of Floop and later Minion, just making him more integral to the story, whereas she's just essentially tagging along because they're married and she's spy couple.
His spy wife.
His spy wife. So, yeah, it would have been nice, like, if we do learn more about maybe his backstory in terms of like his family history and connections and stuff like that,
and
then
I
make
want
her
that all
the
to
one.
Stay.
Like, yeah, keep that, but then make her the one who was developing the third brain and like give her that integral component to the story. Like it is like way imbalanced in yeah. terms of what we know about him versus what we know about her.
Which is yeah, and it's a yeah, it's a bummer. But it's like, I wouldn't remove any of the spy daddy backstory for the world. It's all great. But it's just like, she could have been included more meaningfully in that story. Or like you said, like, if she's involved in the third brain, then they kind of have an equal subplot
right.
power. And
for sure.
Then we would have had a woman in STEM, which,
right.
you know.
Important.
You hate to see it.
I wonder if that imbalance is due to how famous either of them were. Because Jamie, you brought up a good point about like what level of fame was Antonio Banderas during this movie? Was he like too famous to be doing this?
Right.
Or I'm just curious about like what level of like they maybe put more on Antonio Banderas because he was like the recognizable face. But I truly don't know.
I feel
what anyone's fame level was at that point. Like, what did Alan Cumming do at that point? What was Tony Shalhoub Monk yet? Like, what
there's no way to know.
That's an actionable question. I'm like, it is so hard to be like, when was peak Antonio Banderas?
Like, I think it was like late 90s, although okay. Who can say? We've accidentally thought that Tom Hanks wasn't famous before he was cast in Toy Story, so
right.
we don't know anything.
We didn't. I think we were just tired that yeah. day. But
I knew that, and I hadn't been even
look, we're
seen
idiots.
Any of those movies.
This is the year before Monk, so Shalhoub, I think, is paying
Spy
the bills.
Spy Kids made him get... Monk.
There are people who are, I mean, the George Clooney cameo, I think, is treated as if he is blatantly too famous
yeah.
to be. And did you also know Richard Linklater's in this movie for a second?
Really?
Oh, yeah. They're really good friends because they're both from Texas.
Yeah.
Wait, what is he? Is he like one of the bodyguards
or something? Credited as Cool Spy.
He's probably no one idea. Of the guys that like attacks the safe house or something.
Oh, yeah. yeah. There is like a, yeah. That's funny. Well,
wow. Robert Rodriguez must be an awesome friend because I feel like everyone always like
likes working with. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he must just be like a really cool, nice guy. Or I hope he.
I
mean,
hope,
it's,
yeah,
it
I don't
seems
know.
That way.
I know very limited information about Robert Rodriguez except that he made Spy Kids.
I've seen quite a few of his movies. I've seen the like Desperado trilogy. Mm-hmm. I've seen Sin City is, I think, still one of my favorite movies. I don't know. I haven't seen it in a while, but
Mike, I'm sorry. I'm just like looking at the credited character names to see if there's any female characters that we didn't talk about. But there's so many male characters, but they all have such silly names.
Yeah.
Alexander Minion, Donegan Giggles.
Yep.
What?
I didn't realize Mike Judge's character's last name is Giggles. Cheech is Felix Gum.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Lisp, Cool Spy, Agent Johnny. Like, who are these?
Who wrote people? This movie? It was Robert Rodriguez. Well, to what you were saying, Catherine, about like, did the level of the actor's fame play into like how important their character was? I mean, maybe, but also like, it just tends to be the default for especially male writers, and just I mean, especially of this time where the men were just given more important things to do. We know more about their characters. That's just been the default throughout all of history.
Yeah.
So that's not great.
Yeah. Also, I think Carla Gugino she's only 29 in this movie.
Really?
Too. Wow. Yeah. She's only, so they really pushed her into mom roles kind of early. Cause,
interesting.
But yeah, when this movie was released, she was only 29 years old.
No kidding.
Yeah. And Antonio Banderas was like 40-ish.
Okay. Well,
that checks out.
Standard Hollywood age gap.
Love it.
At it again. We've been talking about how there aren't that many female characters, but we're forgetting about the female-coded Thumb-Thumb, who is wearing a sexy nurse outfit.
Right. And her nail was painted.
She has, like, very femme fingernails, and they're painted. And she has, like, a very, like, the other Thumb-Thumbs are, like, these, like, oafish shapes. Mm-hmm. The female Thumb-Thumb was, like, a very, like, curvy, sexy...
Yeah, I guess in general, I would say the Thumb-Thumbs are genderless. But then there was such a clear gender mm-hmm. signifier
right.
of lady finger lady, lady finger, that I'm like, maybe they are supposed to be male coded because they're unpainted Thumb-Thumbs. I choose to interpret them as genderless, but right. Not me.
I think that because of that clear indication, we've got the male Thumb-Thumbs are allowed to be like the soldiers, the spies, and then the only female Thumb-Thumb we see is thrust into this like caregiver nurse role. So
and like made to be sexy, made but to be she's sexy. A finger. They're I agree. I think I'm just like going with my own headcanon on this one.
Sure.
Like even if Robert Rodriguez doesn't understand that the Thumb-Thumbs are doing their own thing, they're identifying as they choose, that's how I feel.
I just have several very quick notes, just things I noticed about the movie. One, Carmen in this movie looks exactly like how Joseph Gordon-Levitt looked in Third Rock from the Sun. They should have cast him as her evil doppelganger.
Oh, it's a doppelganger.
Whoa.
The sound effects in this movie are wild.
So funny.
The music and the sound design is so...
Okay, music... There is a song that Floop sings toward the middle of the movie, and you're like, did this get cut from Nightmare Before Christmas? Mm-hmm. Like, it is such a, like, Danny Elfman, Tim Burton-y...
And then...
Big reveal.
It is Danny Elfman.
And then we learned that Danny Elfman did write some of the music for this movie.
Man, and then I was like, now I'm going to like question what I'm thinking about when I say this seems like a Tim Burton movie. I'm like, maybe it just sounds like a Danny Elfman mm-hmm. movie. And I'm not giving Mr. Elfie his thing. Someone was saying, I'm just on such a Will Poulter kick that if someone makes a movie about Oingo Boingo, that Will Poulter should play Danny Elfman. I'm just putting that out into the world all of our listeners who are developing the Oingo Boingo movie.
Which is all of them?
All of them, yeah.
Incredible.
Speaking of a sound effect, my favorite sound effect in that entire movie is Floop's cape. You hear it, it's so loud.
What does it sound like?
It just is a very distinct whoosh, like whooshing sound. And he does it so drastically. He like, every time he gets up, he like sweeps it back and it's the loudest sound in the whole scene.
I love his character. I love him so much. I think Alan Cumming is my favorite actor of all time.
He's terrific.
He's like, my Alfred Molina.
This is, I also think, no disrespect to Shalhoub, that Alfred really could have knocked that part
absolutely.
Out of the park. But, you know, he was busy being in Chocolat
That's true. So. Also, Floop is trying to figure out what's missing from his children's show because it's rated number 2 and he wants to be number 1. Mm-hmm. And he keeps pondering this. And I think the answer is probably a few women in your writer's room, buddy. I'm guessing you don't have any. That's what's missing from your show, Mr. Floop.
And we did touch on this briefly before, but I thought it was so, I kind of forgot this. I remembered how that scene with Floop and Junie looks visually because it's blazoned onto my brain forever. But the fact that like a young boy expressing his feelings and trying to empathize with an adult and the adult being responsive to that like solves a major plot thing. You're just like, I never, because I feel like we were sort of saying like that is normally would be like
the girl's role
sure.
is mm-hmm. to use the power of feelings. And if that had happened with Carmen, I would have been like rolling my eyes at it. Mm-hmm. But because it's Junie and he is kind of like, even towards the beginning, Spy Daddy is kind of like, Junie, you're too soft. Stop drawing. Mm-hmm. Stop watching Alan Cumming on TV. And Junie is like, I like it. And then like later, I mean, he proves himself that like empathy is a good thing to mm-hmm. have. And, you know, Spy Daddy, he's got to untangle some of his, you know, toxic masculinity and he can learn from his son.
Hopefully he does that in Spy Kids 2 through 4 or whichever ones he's in.
I don't know. Is Antonio Banderas is in 2, right?
I don't remember.
Aristotle confirms yes.
Aristotle confirms yes.
He is. But is he in 3?
I don't think. I know Junie's in 3.
He is in 3.
He is.
Everyone's in 3. Wow.
The gang is
so
back.
So I think it's 4 and that is Stallone. Is when it goes crazy.
Phase 2
yeah,
of Spy Kids lore.
Nobody wants to do this anymore.
One of my favorite parts in the movie is when they go to the safe house and Carmen finds the drawer of like the stash of emergency money. Cash. Yeah. And then she's like, wow, emergency cash from every country. And there are like 10 wads of cash. And it's like, yes, all 10 countries in the world. I did look very hard and studied the flags and figured out that the countries represented are Canada, Germany, Mexico, Guatemala, Colombia, the UK, the US, South Korea, Italy, and Argentina.
Huh. Did Robert Rodriguez just pick his top 10?
Yeah. He's like, these are my favorite travel destinations.
Yeah. Just getting into the trilogy a little bit, just looking at the list of names. So I guess in 3, and I have no recollection besides video game of what happens in 3, but apparently we meet Mike Judge's, Donegan Giggles' whole family.
Oh, wow.
And
Emily Osment plays his daughter, right?
Gertie Giggles.
Yeah,
Gertie
Giggles.
Matt O'Leary. And Salma Hayek plays his wife, Francesca Giggles, in the 3rd one.
Francesca.
Wow.
Which I'm like, a weirder couple than Mike Judge and Salma Hayek, I cannot think of in my brain. Like, what did they talk about? I don't know.
Wait, okay, but isn't Shark Boy and Lava Girl like a spinoff of something that has to do with Spy Kids?
I feel like it's stylistically.
Isn't Shark Boy and Lava Girl like the two characters in the game for the 3rd one? And then there's a spinoff, right?
There's definitely a spinoff. Taylor Lautner.
Taylor Lautner and
Cha Cha Lounge regular.
Is he really?
Well, why did Docs Taylor Lautner?
I saw him there twice 2 years ago, and now I just say he lives there and he works there.
Oh, I had one last thing. The Terry Hatcher scene when she comes into the safe house makes no sense. Here's why. So she finds out that the 3rd brain exists only after Carmen tells her this. Up to that point, all the bad guys think that the 3rd brain had been destroyed whenever we see the flashback of Antonio Banderas crushing a walnut instead of the 3rd brain. Mm. So Carmen's like, no, the 3rd brain lives. And then Terry Hatcher says, oh, well, it must be here then because it wasn't at the Cortez house. Mm-hmm. Why were they searching for something that they think was destroyed? Huh? I should be a spy.
Caitlin, you should be the spy.
Thank you.
When you think about it.
Anyway,
that is true.
Does anyone have any other thoughts about the film?
I am just impressed of a lot of the comedic physical gags in this movie for being an insane movie.
There's a lot, yeah.
Like geared towards kids, but I feel like a lot of the like weird comedic writing things and a lot of the jokes are like for adults or like kids won't understand almost. I don't know. It was just like a good example of like gags I was seeing in the film, like visual gags that I was like, oh, I didn't know that you could do this in movie. Like the George Clooney.
Oh,
he pulls off the
eye thing.
It's so funny.
He pulls off the eye thing and then puts it back on. I don't know.
I really
paid $1 million. I was just so impressed with a lot of those silly.
I mean, I really
silly things.
I like really admire Robert Rodriguez for making something so like extremely silly. Like that just feels like using all the clout he'd built up to this point. Because this was his 7th movie post From Dusk Till Dawn. Like he was a well-established director at this point and just like went for it.
He's like, I'm going to make a movie, Spy Kid movie.
Like a
Spy Kids movie.
Body horror. spy kids movie. Yeah. I just am like, man, that is a responsible use of power. I really like that's the coolest.
Because it's so different from most of his other work, it's which is so, like yeah. pretty like, I mean, some of it's pretty like campy violence, but like he's like Tarantino in that like a lot of his movies are just like this like wild chopping of heads and blood squirting everywhere and just like crazy violence. And then he made Spy Kids.
And incidentally, Spy Kids 3D Game Over, which he did direct, comes out the same year as Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
Okay.
So he contains multitudes.
What a working man.
a movie where Johnny Depp's eyes get gouged out.
Spy Kids Game Over?
Or? yes.
But I just think it's like really cool. And like, even though these aren't the movies he's like primarily remembered for by most people, except for the three of us.
Yeah.
It's like he developed like this really distinct visual style mm-hmm. for kids' movies that no one else has ever done. It's yeah. just, it's so cool. And he directed all four Spy Kids movies and Shark Boy and Lava Girl. Commitment.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the whole Passion Project. Machete.
And I mean, and also the
spinoff of Spy Kids called the Machete. Other spin-off.
I don't know. This rewatching this, I was like, just increased my Rodriguez respect by even more than I already did.
He's pretty dope.
He's cool.
Does this movie pass the Bechdel test
it
or
does.
The spy test?
It does.
Both. It passes both of them.
I had it passing at least twice. There's the opening scene with Carmen and Ingrid, and there's a moment where Junie's off covering his warts, mm-hmm. and they have a brief conversation about, like, are they going to bed? Are they not going to bed?
Did you brush your teeth already? Mm-hmm. I did.
Yeah.
Everything okay at school? It's fine. Yeah.
And then this is kind of a duplicitous pass, but it does pass between Carmen and Miss...
Gridenko.
Miss Gridenko.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As well, even though they're talking about girl power, but the subtext is girl power is fake.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. but it does pass.
Yeah. Does it pass again at all? I forgot to pay as close attention as I should.
There's a
toward
sword...
the end whenever the kids reunite with the parents.
I don't think so
because Carmen does. I feel like Carmen does most of the talking, but she's talking to George Clooney. Like she's talking to the TV.
Okay.
And I don't.
What about in the Flu Palace? Does it? I couldn't. I don't remember. I think I noticed.
Okay. I think it's a lot of Antonio Banderas talking. Ugh, it's mostly him. I think the main thing is that there's just not enough. There's like there's three female characters in the yeah. entire movie, and it's like completely outweighed. I think in little parts it passes like pretty easily mm-hmm. with the interactions, but. I think it's mostly like when they're as a family, it's Antonio Banderas kind of leading the charge of like, we're a family, we're going to do this, as opposed to Ingrid and Carmen.
Right, totally. Yeah.
Unless I'm missing a scene or something that I can't remember.
I mean, given the fact that we only have three female characters that yeah. have any significance, all of them do have conversations with each mm-hmm. other. At very least, there's a sort of pass between Gridenko and Ingrid that you could, I mean, it's...
When they're like, when she's like on the TV or something?
Yeah, when she's yeah. on the TV in the car, but the
she's
subtext
like
of that...
flirting with Antonio Banderas, yeah.
Yeah, so the subtext doesn't work. On paper, it technically works. Yeah, so we've, you know... The Bechdel test is a flawed metric, and arguing about it is basically pointless.
Sure.
Yeah. No, I mean, at very least, the female characters we are given, we know who they are. They care about each other, and it's not always about the majority men in the movie.
True. Yes. Let's rate the movie on our nipple scale, shall
Ooh.
We? It's 0 to 5 nipples based on its representation of women. I'm going to give this, I suppose I would give it like a 3 because it is handling the way women and girls are represented in media better than a lot of media targeted toward children, at least of the films we've covered so far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's parity among the genders that we see, but the fact that there are far more men than there are female characters, the fact that Antonio Banderas hates women and just wants them to be mummies who stay at home. I think it does a lot of good things, and especially the fact that it's like representation of a Latinx mixed family like that on screen being the driving force of the narrative. yeah, I love Alan Cumming, and all of my nipples go to him.
I'm going to go, this is, and I'm probably overshooting it a little bit, but I'm going to go 3.5. Mm-hmm. I love Carmen, and I love hearing your connection to her, Catherine, which it was, I mean, something that didn't, because I was, you know, as a little white girl and had truly an embarrassment of riches, of problematic characters to latch onto. But the fact that, I mean, it's like Carmen is a really cool character. She's not a problematic mm-hmm. character. She's like a really cool and also realistic, like, example for a girl that age. Like, she kicks her brother's ass, but she loves him, and like mm-hmm. she's good at stuff, and she's observant, and like that character alone is just like, I don't know, like it feels like a miracle that that character avoids so many of the pitfalls yeah. that a preteen girl character written by a man would normally fall too.
Right, because it's usually that like precocious, like genius child trope, like the wise beyond her years child.
Or sexualized too early, yes. or
like, any number of horrible things.
But she's truly treated just like a character and has flaws. She still wets the bed sometimes. Like, there, it's, I don't know. I really love how the spy kids are written in this movie. And yeah. I think that, like, Junie is a really, really cool example of, like, not a hyper-masculine little boy and having that be part of, like, what makes him cool mm-hmm. and, like, part of, like, what makes him good at being a spy. So I think it's great. Yeah. And I just a fun fact I'd like to throw into the ring. Robert Rodriguez walked Alexa Vega down the aisle at her wedding.
Oh, my God.
He has to be so nice, right? Like, he seems like great.
Well, we did ask, I did pose the question, was Alan Cumming at the Meghan Trainor Daryl Sabara wedding?
I guess the real question is, was Robert Rodriguez yeah. and Alan Cumming?
Did they officiate? Did they, like, what did they do? What was their role?
I hope that being Junie and being an empathetic young male character is what taught Daryl Sabara that it's okay to be Mr. Meghan Trainor. And also, just something that I kept meaning to bring up last night, and then I think I either got embarrassed or tired and kept forgetting to say, is Alexa Vega, who now goes by Alexa Pena Vega, because she and her husband combined their last names, which is
love it.
A whole thing. But she has found a very successful second life in Hallmark movies. Mm. She has been in 6 in a row. So
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, she's coming for all of the Full House ladies in Hallmark.
She's on their trail.
Anyways, and I do have a few issues with the way that Ingrid's character is presented. I just mainly wish we knew more about her.
Yeah.
And that there were more female characters. But Carmen, I don't know. Carmen is such a victory for all. And so is Junie. So 3.5 for me. I'm going to give all of them to Shalhoub.
All right.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
For all of his heads.
He's going to need many nipples for each of his heads. Yeah. For sure. How about you, Catherine?
I think I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5, only because I'm just jumping off of Jamie's point of Carmen being such a victory. And it's like the movie set out, I think, what it wanted to do, which was show these kids in like a really cool way. And I think it successfully did that, because in my head, the movie is more about the two kids learning about themselves rather than the parents. Mm-hmm. And I think it successfully did that. And I think, like, what you were saying was that, like, Carmen is well-developed and she's, to me, like, the lead. Like, I think her and Junior are equally the stars of the movie, but I feel like watching her kind of bumped it up, being like, no, she's cool. I want to be like her. Like, she's a spy, but she's also, like, weird and, like, she can be made fun of and it's fine. I think that's why I pushed it up a little bit. But I agree. I think there's not enough female characters, and the other two adults just weren't developed enough. And I think they could have been easily. But I think it does more good than it does harm. So I'll give it that. And as a movie in general, 10 out of 10 forever.
Flawless
movie. So many good things.
We also forgot to mention that we learned that Carmen skips school to go off to Belize sometimes. So somehow she manages to go from wherever they live, again, never clear,
yeah.
but wherever they live to Belize to just
hang out.
I don't know, hang out.
Like, twice a month. Was it twice a month or something?
Yeah.
She was like, she skips school twice a month. I'll give one nipple to that scene where Junie has the, what is it?
Oh,
the handcuff,
like
the little safe handcuff to his hand. And he wants to get it off and he smacks it on the rock or the wall and it bounces back. It is the funniest thing.
It hits
him in the head. It's the funniest thing in that movie. And I will give the rest of that rating to the entire safe house because that is the best thing.
Oh, the little like packets that turn
little
into a Big Mac.
Yeah, those little, they're clearly Pop-Tarts, right?
They're
clearly Pop-Tart packaging.
It's perfect product play. That McDonald's thing, you're just like, oh.
It's like the
I really wanted a Big Mac.
I know.
But I've got sludge, so I can't eat one.
I'm pretty
sure
I had
Alan Cumming sludge.
Yeah, the green.
Yeah.
Also maybe stolen from Nightmare Before Christmas. Like I was telling you, I was like that scene where Sally is eating that green soup.
Yes.
I don't know. There's some weird crossover that I think we're missing.
Well, but anyway, Catherine, thanks for coming on the pod.
I'm so excited I finally convinced you to watch it after years.
It's so fun to watch. Everyone should watch this movie in a group, too. It's so much fun to watch in a group.
It's wild.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thanks for being here. What would you like to plug?
Oh, I don't know.
Where can people follow you online?
Twitter, I guess. That hellhole. Yeah. It's just my name, at Catherine Leon. They do a UCB show every Fridays at 11 called JV Throwback Friday. Rod Stewart Live is every Wednesday in Highland Park. Stand-up show. Atlantic City is a sketch show at UCB every second Thursday at UCB Franklin at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
All right. Well, if you live in L.A. or if you're visiting, come to all those shows.
The damn queen.
Come say hi.
She runs this town.
I'm probably there.
You can follow us on social media at Bechtelcast. We've got a Patreon, a.k.a. Matreon, that you can give money from any of the following countries. South Korea, Argentina.
There are only 10 countries.
The UK,
Canada,
the US.
Germany.
There's only 10 of them. If you don't live in one of those countries, I'm sorry, but you don't have money. Also, they listed countries that I think share a currency. Hang on, let me look
up
this
list
again.
You said like Guatemala and Colombia, right?
Yes. Do they all? I don't know which countries use what. Oh, but Germany and Italy are on the euro. But also, I did some extra research, and I think in 2001, Italy was using another type of currency in addition to they hadn't fully adopted the euro yet. I don't know. Anyway,
if anyone can send us fun facts about Robert Rodriguez to prove that he's a nice man, please.
Yeah, please. Any all, let's turn this into Keanu Gate again of just a million nice Robert Rodriguez. I mean, the fact that he walked her down the aisle, you're just like, oh, that's so nice.
Okay. Patreon. Yeah, Matreon. It's $5 a month. Gets you 2 bonus episodes every month, plus our entire back catalog of bonus episodes. We've got merch for sale.
Yeah.
Feminist icon. Queer icon.
Feminist icon.
Alfred Molina. Feminism is the law now. A whole slew of options.
Maybe I'll make a Spy Daddy, Spy Mommy design to throw in the store.
Fun.
Ooh, or just Spy Parrot for...
Can I request...
Spy Parrot would be such a confusing shirt.
Can I request a commission of Floop and Minion, but wearing... the spy gear that Carmen and Junie wear at some point.
Yes. Well, okay. And then do you want Minion with heads
or
just
glasses?
Or the glasses.
Oh, wow. Yeah. There's so many options. Better design them all. Anyway, buy our merch at tpublic.com/TheBechtelCast. You can visit our website for various things. Bechtelcast.com has episodes, has a link to our merch store, has upcoming live shows. So check those out. And okay, bye.
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 Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year.
Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women. Creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection. Obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.